Okay. Yisro, Tav Shem Pei Aleph. The day that changed the world. The truth is that perhaps a more appropriate title would be the day that revealed to the world what it was really about. But be that as it may, there's several topics that are related to one another that we're going to touch on. One is Maamar Har Sinai itself. The next is going to be very briefly the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then finally, how the entire experience shaped, transformed our worldview irrevocably. I'm going to synopsize things as best as possible so that it's not too long. but I think you'll see, after more careful examination, that there are a number of incredibly fundamental ideas that come to the fore in this examination of Matan Torah. First of all, in Perek Yud Tes, it says, Moshe Allah Elohim, Vayikra Elav Hashem Min Hahar, Lemor Kosamar Leves Yaakov V'Sagid Levnei Yisrael. Sagid Levnei Yisrael. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is Allah Elohim, Hashem is not calling him. What does it mean, Allah Elohim? Says the Panim Yafos that Moshe Rabbeinu is Allah Elohim Hodia HaKosuv. This is the Panim Yafos. Shenis'ang LeMoshe B'Kedushaso Shel Yisrael. That Moshe Rabbeinu, by virtue of the fact that now he's going to be the intermediary who's going to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael, that boost to his Kedusha enabled him to be Ola El Elohim. What does it mean to be Ola Elohim? So the Panim Yafa points out that we know that Elohim is associated with Midas Adin, and which is associated with the idea of Yira, fear of Hashem. The Shem Yudke Vavke is associated with Rachmim, and that in turn we relate to on the wavelength of Avas Hashem. So you have Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. You see, this is going to be a repeating topic that we're going to come to grips with here in the discussion of the backdrop of Maamar Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was Ola in the Schus of Klal Yisrael. He was Ola El Ola Elohim. Says the Panim Yafos, this Ola Elohim is that the Yiras Haromamus, this incredible state of awe vis-a-vis the total omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, right, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, this Yiras Aromus, it brings a person, says the Panim Yafos, he brings from the Zohar, it brings a person as he rises in this Yiras Elohim, which again Moshe Rabbeinu was zocha to because he's coming to be Mesharis Klai, so he's coming to serve the Jewish people, then Hashem's response to him is love. Hashem is Oev, the person who is struggling, who is striving to create the relationship of where he is totally standing in a state of orbit in the God-centric universe. He sees himself as an anach, as a branch of Hashem's reality. He's just one more little piece of reality, part of a much greater reality, which is the Creator. This year that he has generates kavyochol response from the Borei Olam of Ava. And that in turn, when the person experiences, he senses that Ava that Hashem has for him, he in turn is Ohev Hashem. So we have at the very beginning of our entire discussion over here is this combination, this blending together of Yira and Ava, standing in awe and fear of Hashem. Again, we're not talking exclusively about the fear of Onesh, of being punished, but the awe of standing in the presence of Hashem, and that in turn generates, ultimately, Avas Hashem. It's interesting that the Panim Yofa says that this was Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve this by dint of the fact that he is coming to Misharis to serve the Jewish people. We know that the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Beis discusses the idea, discusses the psukim that we'll see later on in Parshas Kisisa. After the Chet HaEgel, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Leich Reid, Kishiches Amcha, go down, right? Because your nation, as it were, has defiled themselves with the Chet HaEgel. Say Chazal, Leich Reid, Reid Migdulascha. Go down from your gedula. Klum nasati dechas a gedula azos. Hashem says, I only gave you this level of gedula, greatness, because of the Jewish people. Now the Jewish people have sinned. What do I need you to have this level of greatness? So there's a further discussion there in the Gemara Brachas, but the idea being that we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition to his own qualities and his own incredible stature and lofty, what he called level of Dveikus to Hashem, but it was supercharged by virtue of the fact that he's coming to Mimsharis, the Jewish people here. Moshe Rabbeinu is beginning his role as the one who's going to bring the Torah down to Klal Yisrael. He in turn is able to rise to an incredible level of this Yiras Elokim, which in turn engenders Hashem's love for him, which with a person as they experience it, in turn reciprocates with love of Hashem. Love of Hashem. This is how we start off. Next, let's go to the Or HaChaim. What did it say in that Pasuk? The Pasuk that we just read now, right, is Ko Somar Leveis Yaakov Asagi Livnei Yisrael. Amira to Beis Yaakov, Hagada, what he called Livnei Yisrael. Amira is always, as Rashi points out, is Amira Raka, soft things. Things that are inspirational, things that speak about the reward, the love, the relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Dvarim Kashim Kegidim is the hard facts, as it were. Right? In other words, what he called, don't mess up, don't outstep out of your boundaries, because there's a price to pay for this. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he says an amazing thing. He says, the Kosomar Leves Yaakov, wherever we find, and the Malbim also brings up this idea all over Tanakh, that whenever the Psukim use the terminology Yaakov, it's a reference to do what we call to not the highest echelons in Klal Yisrael. We talk about Yisrael, it is a reference to the highest echelons. Kosomar Leves Yaakov, Isagilim in Yisrael, to the base Yaakov, to those who were to quote are not the highest echelons. Again, he's not differentiating over here in the Or HaChaim between men and women. Over here, he's finding what he called how much a person is plugged in. The lower echelons tend to be over Hashem Yira. They don't want to lose what they have, the Yiras Onish, etc. Yira. The higher echelons tend to be over Ava. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that we know, and he brings Psukim to support this, that Avas Hashem generates twice as much of a reward than Yiras Hashem. Avas the higher Madrego. He brings, like I said, proofs, what he called to the point. I don't want to belabor the point right now. Brings proof to it. And Hashem's Ratzon is always that we should be Zoche to the greatest, as it were, reward. And therefore, he wants it to be over Ava. But there's a problem in Avodas Hashem Me'ava. And that is a person feels a certain sense of closeness to Hashem. And once he feels that sense of closeness, he, okay, I didn't do that. But his love will say it's okay. He loves me. He'll forgive me, etc. It tends to generate, as it were, a little bit of an attitude that it's all okay because he loves me. I love him, he loves me. So love, that relationship of Ava vis-a-vis Hashem is the highest Madrega, higher Madrega, double, as he were, the scar that one receives for Yira, but there is a problem with it. So therefore, what we're trying to do is we're trying to inspire the Jewish people to fine-tune, to hone their Ava Yira relationship. And therefore, to the Beis Yaakov, to those, as it were, who are being Ovid Meira, Kosomer the Beis Yaakov, teach them the idea of Hashem's love for them, inspire them so that they can round out their relationship. To Bnei Yisrael, to those who are living in a higher relationship, they're being over me Ava to begin with. Tell them, Haggadah, Dvarim Kashim Kegidim, things that are hard, like what do you call it, different grasses, bitter vegetables. So I'm kashim kegidim. Say that over to them. What? Because they need to temper their ava along with yira. You have to have both. Further, and again, I'm trying to be brief here. Within this light, Hashem wants Moshe Rabbeinu to foster in the Jewish people both the Ava Yira relationship. So now the next pasuk is Atem Riyisem Asher Asisi LeMitzrayim. Not that Hotzeisi Eschem LeMitzrayim. Asisi LeMitzrayim says the Or HaChaim is trying to point out what Hashem did to the Mitzrayim, the Onshim they received. This should strike Yira that a person, it should not feel that it's all okay, you're okay, I'm okay, it's California, no sweat. It doesn't make any difference. They have to know that they have to have a certain care. That there is a certain care, a certain exactitude in the way they fulfill the mitzvos. Atem Riyisem Asher Asisi LeMitzrayim, that which I did to Mitzrayim. That's to inspire Yira. And in the very same sentence, in the very same pasuk, the Eschem, Al Kanfin Hashem, Eschem Eli. I carried you on wings of eagles to bring you close to me, to show Hashem's love for us. Yira. Ava, once again. Va'atayim shamoa tishmu'u, bekoli shmartem es brisi, v'isimli segula mikola amin kili kola aretz. Once again, these are fundamental ideas that are all being taught as the backdrop to Matan Torah. Im shamoa tishmu, says the Orachaim HaKadosh, if you listen, if you learn the Torah, shamoa tishmu, you'll desire to learn more Torah. You'll desire to learn more Torah. Ushmartim is receive simli segula. You will be like a segula, something like a precious commodity. Don't think that Hashem is chaser, he's missing something by you not doing the mitzvos. First of all, I'm telling you, if you learn, you want to learn more. But beyond that, I'm also telling you that don't think that Hashem needs you, mitzad himself. You're like a segula, you're like a precious chalice that a king might own. Does it make or break his kingship? No. But he sees it as something precious. He loves it. It's so unique. You're a skula. Now that he says a step further, says the Orachaim HaKadosh. He says skula mikola amim kili kol aretz. The skula of Klal Yisrael is that Hashem's kedusha is all over the world, but it's scattered in many different places. And it's hidden. It needs the quality of the Jewish people, as it were, to extract the kedusha from all of the places in the world. It's like a magnet. We are able, because of our attachment to Hashem, to His Torah, to His mitzvot, we're able to search out any given point and extract the nekudas of kedusha. There, we mentioned the story once, perhaps even last week, they mentioned it, about the Klausenberger Rebbe. Here's the Klausenberger Rebbe carrying 50 kilos of cement up a slippery, cold, wet, muddy hill. And the person next to him is a strong guy, he's a Jewish guy, he's strong, he's built, and he's carrying it up, and he can't imagine how the Klausenberger Rebbe is doing this, because he's like a skeleton, he looks like a Muslim, and he looks like the sort of person who's going to be dead soon. And then he hears the Klausenberger Rebbe saying, Tachas Asher lo avadat es Hashem elokecha v'simcha v'tuv levav mirov kol. Words from the Tochacha, that this disaster has befallen us because we didn't serve Hashem out of Simcha. Imagine, that's what he's saying. A person who lost a wife and 11 children. He still has the ability, as it were, not to have tainus on Hashem. And not only that, but recall to try and put things in perspective and not blame Hashem, but rather, as it were, take responsibility. This is a person who lives in a totally God-centric universe. That the school of the quality of Klal Yisrael, it extracts from all of the abysses that we find in the world, all of the worst experiences, the worst situations, it's able to extract the Nekudah of Kedusha from there. The Klausenberger Rebbe, as it were, took from what should have been the most difficult of Nisyonos, almost impassable, leaving a person broken. And for that he says, I have no time to Hashem. No doubt I didn't serve you with enough ahava. What humility, what greatness, what strength. Not normal. Had we never been chote in the Beis Hamikdash, never destroyed, says the Orachaim HaKodesh, then this magnet-like quality of the Jewish people, as it were, to give meaning to every experience and every object. He says that's the way we should read the pasuk. He brings Chazal. He says, "Vatem tu li, v'yisem li, skula mikol amim." He says, "Read it v'haveisem li, become a skula, right? To energize the skula. V'haveisem, create the skula, create the kedusha, release the nitzotzos, the sparks of kedusha that are hidden in every object and every experience. Some of them, the blackest experiences, is hidden there. It takes the Jewish people to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim to extract it. It's an amazing thing. Amazing, amazing thing." Had the Beis Hamikdash never been destroyed, this quality, this ability of the Jewish people would have somehow emanated from the Beis Hamikdash, and the job would have been done that way. With our sins and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, we're scattered all over the world, and in a pragmatic sense, that makes the job, in that sense, easier, if you can call it easier. We are there with all these different nitzotzos, through all of our experiences, and able to extract the Kedusha from them. Atem tu li mamlechas kolonim v'goy kodesh in Pasuk Vav, ila dromashe tudaber el b'nei Yisrael. You shall be a mamlechas kolonim v'goy kodesh, just like in heaven, the emissaries of Hashem are the angels in their encampments. They carry the word of Hashem from the world of light down here onto this into this world of darkness. Our job description is to be a mamlechas kolonim v'goy kodesh in the same fashion, says the Orachaim HaKodesh, that we, as it were, reveal Hashem's presence in this world, reveal His Kedusha in this world. And he says, in addition, the reason it says "Va'atem tiuli," and you shall be, wants to point out you shall be when? Not in the next world, of course, the next world. But you would think, what do you call? When you're 120, you pass on. So then you already call. Then you're a mamlechas kolonim goy kodesh. No, you can do it now here in this world, in this world. Further. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers together the Zkenim and tells them exactly what Hashem was mitzav him to tell Bnei Israel. It's interesting. Hashem didn't tell him to tell the Zkenim. Hashem told him to tell Bnei Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu decides on his own, ostensibly. Again, he's not going against Hashem. He's saying the methodology he's going to use is to tell the Zkenim, and L'chora, the Zkenim will teach the Jewish people. Why is this? First, I'm saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that the reaction of the people wouldn't necessarily be unanimous in a positive sense. If he tells the Zkenim, and then the Jewish people, as it were, have got their issues, each Zaken, as it were, can go to his tribe, can go to his segment, his section, to the family that he knows, etc., and be mashpi on them, convince them that they should accept the Torah. Surprise, surprise, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to speak to the Zkenim, all of a sudden everybody jumps up, the whole Jewish people, they say, "What? We will do everything in Hashem is mitzvah." Amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. They, what do you call it? They hear him speaking this game, they jump up and they say, Hashem. So let's keep on going. See the Psukim, and then we'll take a look at the Achidas Yetzik and the Kli Yakar. What does it say? It says, "Vayavo Moshe v'yikrol ezikne am v'yosim lefneim es kol hadvorim e'ele asher tzivo Hashem." He tells them everything, the skadim, that Hashem was atzav him to tell Bnei Israel. Again, the rationale behind it, we said, as Moshe was concerned that if he told it directly to the people, there might be people who would demur. People would, as it were, refuse. Or have doubts, etc. This is what he tells the skadim. And now, what he quoted, there are people who have got the problems, so the individual skadim, because the word can deal with the Am. Little did he know that the Am is going to say, "No, we want it, we'll do it." Wonderful. Vayanu kol Am, in Pasuk Ches, Vayanu kol Am yachta, vayomer kol asher diber Hashem naase. Vayoshe Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. So they say all of that which Hashem says we will do. Kol asher diber Hashem naase. Note that in this statement, there is on the one hand their incredible spontaneity, we will do it. We'll do it, no questions. But they also call Hashem Dibur Hashem. We want to hear it from Hashem. We don't want to hear it from you. We don't hear it, certainly not, we don't hear it from a secondary source. Unless you'll teach the skin in turn will teach us. No, we're not interested in that. Call Hashem Dibur Hashem. Nase. Ve'ashav Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. So ostensibly to appear that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Ribbono Shel Olam what they said. Call Hashem Dibur Hashem Nase. Okay. Next pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hinei anochi bo'ei lecha be'ava anan." Moshe Rabbeinu is visited by Hashem. Hashem says to him, I've come to you in Ba'ava, and I'll come to you in the Rafel, in what he called in the deep, 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 dark, thick cloud. So the people can hear me speaking to you. And this way they also believe in you forever. And then Moshe told over to Hashem the Divrei Am. What Divrei Am? We already said before, in the previous pasuk in Ches, Yashem Moshe es Divrei Am El Hashem. What else is there to say? They didn't say anything else in the interim. So first of all, let's start with the Akedas Yitzchak. He quotes a medrash from Shir HaShirim that the entire process here, leading up to what he called Tumatan Torah, is, as it were, is comparable. It's a mushal to a king, a great king, who has set his sights on a special woman. And he sends a shaliach, he sends an emissary, he sends a messenger there to say that, what he called, that the king would like to betroth her. The woman in turn responds, I'm not worthy to be his maidservant, but if he has a proposal to make, I'd like to hear it directly from him. Right? On the one hand, my worthy to be his maidservant. Of course, I'm not worthy to be his maidservant. I'm willing to accept, you know, his proposal, but I want to hear it from him. Interesting. Says Akedas Yitzchak that is, right, that's the mashal to what's happening over here. The shliach, as the Akedas Yitzchak brings down the medrash, the shliach then returns to the king, and the king looks at the shliach, and the shliach's face is very joyful. On the other hand, the shliach is not articulating exactly what happened. So there's a little bit of an issue over here. On the one hand, he looks very excited, his face is flushed. Obviously, he was successful in shliach, and yet on the other hand, he's not willing to articulate it. Says the Akedas Yitzchak, that's exactly what took place over here. When the Jewish people said to Moshe, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Naase. In that Naase is, we agree, we accept, we're willing to do it, we're willing to do everything. Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Naase. But we are not interested in listening to this entire process secondhand. Because what they see, Moshe Rabbeinu, again, he has reasons for going to this Skanim first, because he was concerned that perhaps the people wouldn't agree. People, on the other hand, are totally, totally on board. They were willing to do everything. But they see Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Skanim. They assume the Skanim is going to teach them. That means it's going to be secondhand. We're not interested in this. We don't want it. Kosher Dibir Hashem. We want to hear Dibir Hashem. This is where Chazal obviously understand the idea of the Klai Yisrael said, Ritzoneinu L'Ros Malkeinu. Our Ratzon is to see our king. Our Ratzon to see our king. So now, if I can digress just a bit from the Akedas Yitzchak to the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar explains it as follows. Bnei Yisrael said, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Naase. Everything that Hashem said, we're going to do. So on the one hand, that's a statement of positivity. Whatever he said, we're going to do. On the other hand, there is the Kol Asher Dibur Hashem. We want to hear it directly from him. Moshe Rabbeinu brings back the positive aspect of this. Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Naase. We will do it. That is the pasuk of Vayoshev. Vayoshev Moshe in pasuk Ches. Vayoshev Moshe as Divrei Am El Hashem. But then Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Hini Anochi Bo Elecha, Va'ava Anon, Bavu Yishma Ha'am Dabri Yimach. Hashem adds in, I'm going to come and speak to you in the thickness of a cloud, and they'll hear me speaking to you. Why? Because Hashem understands that Moshe Rabbeinu is not explaining the whole story. Again, his face is flushed with excitement, but his words are not clear, as the Medrash, the example brought down in the Medrash of the Shliach, who is coming to win the hand of a special woman for the king. He comes back, he's so excited, but he can't articulate what her actual response was because he's embarrassed. We'll only hear from you. We'll only hear from Hashem. So the first thing that Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, does is Vayashem Moshe, Divrei Am El Hashem. Look what they said. They all said Naase. I mean, I went and spoke to the Skanim, but it wasn't necessary because they all jumped on and said Naase. Terrific. Hashem understands, though, that there's other, something else over here, because Moshe Rabbeinu is not articulating things, and he says, I see that they weren't interested in listening in the fashion that it appeared that you were presenting it, via Shlichim. So you know what? I'm going to speak to them in a way where they hear me speaking to you. They'll hear me speaking to you. Then it says, Vayogit Moshe Estivriya Amil Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, it would appear, and this is the way the Kli Yakar, I think, is understanding it, is saying, maybe it's not enough for them to hear you speaking to me. They want to hear directly. They don't want to hear by way of an intermediary. Even if it's only one intermediary, it's just me. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear, right, from me. They want to hear directly from you, Hashem. At that point, Hashem says, fine, they want to hear directly from me. V'yom Hashem Moshe Lech. They need to prepare themselves on the wavelength of Kedusha. They need to prepare themselves on the wavelength of Kedusha. They must separate themselves from their wives temporarily. There can be no Tumah here, only Kedusha. Why? Because it's not just they're going to listen to me speak to you. They want me to speak to them. When I speak to them, it's going to be like Shomei Ka'one. This is what Tosis says in Shabbos. It's like Shomei Ka'one. It's they're actively involved in the experience of Hashem speaking out. The Aseres Adibros. You have to prepare yourself then. Prepare yourself. So again, Hashem says, they'll hear me speaking to you. Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, maybe that's not enough for them. Right? It's not enough for them. They want to hear directly from you. They want to hear directly from you. Hashem says, fine, but they have to mekadesh themselves. This idea of Moshe Rabbeinu's response, maybe that's not enough for them. Maybe they don't want to hear from me directly, but they want to hear directly from you. So we see what it calls, this leads us into the next topic over here, which is the incredible nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is his by virtue of the fact, as it says in Parshas Baaloscha, Vayish Moshe Onav Va'od Mikol Adam Asher Pnei Adama. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person. The most humble person. Asher Pnei Adama. So now, let's understand that. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble of all people, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is able to hear all of the Dibur of Hashem on the wavelength that Klal Yisrael was only able to manage for two Dibros, Anochi and Lo Yelecha. Moshe Rabbeinu's experience, he sees as, what you call the Svarim, talk about the Ramban, talks about it here, the Adir B'morim, brings down this idea, he sees Baspaklari Amir, a clear glass, no haze on the glass, no scratches on the glass, certainly no silver behind it turning into a mirror. He sees Baspaklari, he sees things clearly. This is the function of Moshe Rabbeinu's Anav Mikol Adam. He's living in a total God-centric universe. It's never revolving around him. That's why he's able to hear all these words of Hashem, all these nevuos, on a wavelength that Klal Yisrael can manage only for two Dibros. Because it's so jarring for them. A person, no matter how observant he is, but he tends to live in an egocentric universe. Where it's revolving around him. Where it's revolving around him. So therefore, to hear, as we'll see shortly, right, that the whole world says that's a lie, revolving around you. The real reality of things is it's a God-centric universe, and you are nothing more than just a branch of Hashem's will. You are chelik el kamimalos. It doesn't revolve around you. You're already living in an egocentric universe. But the truth is, it's a God-centric universe. This is very jarring for a person. For two mitzvahs, they can manage more than they couldn't manage. Moshe Rabbeinu, because he's the Anav Mikol Adam. It's never about him. That's why he's able to constantly hear this level of Aspaklaria Meira. Let's just, we've talked about before this, the concept of Aspaklaria Meira. The story they tell about Rav Meir Pamishlan, one of the Hasidic masters, he disguised himself as a mendicant, as a poverty-stricken person, and he went traveling. He went and put himself to Golos. Many Golem did this. The Gra, we know, did it as well. Others, the Holy Brothers, Rav Meilich, Rav Meilich, and Rav Zisha, they also did it. Anyway, he comes to a certain town. He's like a beggar. He asks around, is there any place for a poor person like me to be able to find a place to sleep, to eat? They say, yeah, the uncle has got a hektish. He's got a house there, yeah, with what he called, he spreads out mattresses on the floor. He sleeps with all the guests. He gives them whatever he has. The little food that he has, he shares with everybody. Yankel, go to Yankel. Goes to Yankel, he's amazed. This person is unbelievable. Mesiras Nefesh, it's impeccable in his fulfillment of it, unbelievable. Before he leaves, he doesn't reveal himself. He says to you, I want to give you a bracha, Birchas Hedger, give you a bracha. That everything that you were able to fulfill here, bedachkus, in the difficulty of living in penury, you should be zocha to be mekayim, to fulfill in a state of rachvus, of where your coffers are filled with plenty. And he leaves. He comes back several years later. This time he's not disguised. This time he's coming back as Ramir Mepamishlan. Everybody's excited. Tzadik Bali here. Everybody's happy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He says, where's Yankel, the Balstaka? And they say, what? Yankel, Yankel, the Balstaka. Yankel, the Balstaka. They say, there's no Yankel, the Balstaka. There is Yankel here, but it's Yankel, the Kamtzen, the miser. Not about the Balstaka. Where does he live? He says, oh, he lives in that palatial estate there, top of the hill, a seat surrounded by a very large fence, and there's a footman at the door who doesn't let anybody in. Rabbi Pamashan says, I must go speak with him. Comes there, he's obviously a very choshev personage, nonetheless, the butler, the sentry, is not willing to let him in. He says, send a message to your master that Ramir Mepamishlan is here to speak with him. Now, Ramir Mepamishlan is very famous. The Rebbe came to see me. Oh, it's Achshivas. He says, please, please, show the Rebbe in. He comes in, and he sees him. He'd never seen him before. He didn't, you know, he heard his name, but never seen him. He sees him. You're the one who gave me the bracha that time. Whoa, I have so much to thank you for. I was so poor then, and I'm so wealthy now. And Rebbe Mepamishlan says, yes, I've come to talk to you about that. He says, come with me upstairs. Balabai says, fine, Yankel, fine. They open up a big window, overlooks a park, which is attached to his palatial estate. And Rabbi Mepamishlan asks him, he says, what do you see? He says, what do I see? He says, what do you see? He says, I see people sitting around, families. It's a very beautiful park. I have a view from here, you know, very exclusive view, building over here. He says, really? Really? He says, now come with me. He takes him over to a mirror. He says, what do you see now? He says, what do I see? He says, you told me before what you saw was people outside. He says, yes. And now what do you see? He says, I see myself. She said to him, you know what the difference is? Why isn't one you see the other people and the other you see yourself? It's because this glass over here has silver behind it. Kesef. Money. When the money is behind the glass, all you see is yourself. So I thought I was doing you a favor then, but I see the favor I need to do for you now is... Rebino! He understood his mistake. He was Chozer B'tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to experience Anochi Hashem Elokecha in every dibur from Hashem. He's able to experience, right, the Aspaklaria Meir, to see clearly to the dibur of Hashem. Hashem speaks to him Pel Peh. Why is he able to do that? Because he's the honor of Mikol Adam. Everybody else who's living in an egocentric universe to one degree or another, it's too shocking to bear more than what Klal Yisrael was able to bear at the time of Matan Torah. Just two dibros, Anochi and Lo Yelecha. More than that they couldn't do. Note, take a look in these psukim here. In Parshish Baloscha, Vayomer, Shimuna Dvarai, this is Hashem speaking to Aaron and Miriam after they spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. Shimuna Dvarai, Ye Neviachem Hashem Bemar'a Elov Esvada Bachalom Adaberbo. If Hashem causes your Navi to speak words of Nevuah, Ye Neviachem Hashem, Hashem will cause him to speak Nevuah. Bemar'a Elov Esvada. I will reveal myself to this Navi, says Hashem, like in a Mar'a, like in a mirror. In other words, it'll never leave the orbit around himself. In a mirror, I will reveal to myself. Unlike Lochein Avdi Moshe, B'chol Beisi Ne'emanu, I can count on him. Pe'el Pe'a Daber Bo, that he will follow me always to the ends of the earth. V'lo b'chidos. I speak to him mouth to mouth. U'mar'eh. With a mar'eh, not a mar'ah. A mar'ah is a mirror. Mar'eh is clear, like through the glass. V'lo b'chidos. Not through riddles. Smunas Hashem Yabit, etc. That's the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is able to hear everything. Baspaklar Emira. Klal Yisrael hasn't reached total escape velocity in terms of the egocentric universe, and therefore it's too jarring to listen to every dibur. Let's just see one more thing in closing. A few different citations here. Hadibros utfisas olam chadasha. The dibros and a new worldview. Says the Maor Einayim. He says an unbelievable thing. He says, Ki amra zal b'shah sh'amra kodesh bochu anokhi Hashem lekecha hayu shomi mikol ha-makomos kol shoeg anokhi Hashem lekecha afilu even mikir v'lo haya mokob ponush lo haya nishma misham anokhi. What did they hear when they heard Anokhi Hashem Lekecha? As I heard from Rav Yishai Shapir, as I started with Kodesh Lebracha, they heard that all the eyes, all the anis, were really Anokhi of Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is everything. He's everything. We are just a chelik of him. Granted, what a rude awakening that is for a person who lives in an egocentric universe. Deep space. Deep, deep space. Anokhi Hashem Lekecha, they heard it coming out from every wall, from every bird, from every tree, from the clouds, from the sky. They heard Anokhi Hashem Lekecha. Hashem is reality. Hashem is reality. The Siddur Shel Shabbos adds a little bit of a point. He says that every dibur that came from Hashem, right? They heard Anokhi Hashem Lekecha. The dibur went around to every Jew and said to him, gave him a kiss on the mouth and says, do you accept me? This experience was never lost to the Jewish people. Like Shem Yishmul says, when they heard Anokhi Hashem Lekecha, all of Torah was embedded in their hearts in a way that they could not forget it. When they heard Lo Yelech Elohim Acher Malponai, your Shemaim entered their hearts, the Yitzhar was chased out. Afterwards they said, we can't handle it ourselves. So it's true. Beforehand, when they were willing to accept it, what do you call it, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, right? And there was the every dibur. At that point, the Torah was in their hearts in a way they couldn't possibly forget. Yitzhar was chased away from them. But they couldn't maintain that level. It's too hard for people who were still living in an egocentric universe to completely enter into a universe where you hear Anokhi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem is saying he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. There is nothing that's vacant of him. He is the only objective reality. Too jarring. Too jarring. Too jarring. So then, once they said, we'll listen to you, Moshe, you listen to Hashem, you tell us, then they were able to forget. It wasn't that direct experience. They were able to forget. They were able to forget. The Yitzhar came back. Says the Igeres Rambam, though. Even though they didn't maintain that level, that totally God-centric level of listening to Hashem speak every one of the Aseres HaDibros, only the first two they were able to hear. But, says the Rambam, this is an unbelievable thing. Ukvar hivtichanu abor yisbrach garma nichras arev l'chaveru v'daylonu v'avrasa v'odinu shekol misha omar al arsinai she'im aminim b'nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol ma sheba al yodo u'b'neim u'neimim ad olam. The Rambam says that it's part of our spiritual genetic makeup. Anybody who stood at Sinai, his children and his children's children till end of all the generations will all believe v'gam b'choy aminu l'olam in Taurus Moshe. And it was, even though we couldn't maintain the same level as when we heard those first two dibros, to be able not to forget Torah again, not to have Yitzhar inside of us, we didn't have that. But the impression, right? The yisod, the impression of what we learned from Nochi, that's emblazoned upon our hearts. And he continues, he says the Rambam, Shekein amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisbarach, Hinei Anochi Boi Elech Va'av Anon, Bavur Yishma Am B'davri Yimach, V'gam B'choy Yaminu Olam, L'fichach Yish L'das, Shekol Mi Shenotam Yiderach Hadas, Anasuna B'mayim Arahu, Sheinu Mizera Anoshim Haim. If a person leaves the belief in Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us the Torah, and the method which the Torah says, it shows a person's forefathers did not stand at Sinai, because otherwise it'd be part of him. It's an amazing thing. And even though a person has the capacity, right, to the Yetzer Hara, to bamboozle him, to befuddle him, But when it comes to this fundamental ideas of what do you call it, of the Hashem. We heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Lekecha. We realize this reality. A person who abandons that reality, who abandons Torah's Moshe, shows his forebears did not stand at Sinai. Amazing. Says Akedas Yitzchak. He says something very special. He says this is not only true about our general belief about Hashem, but the other fundamentals of the Torah. For instance, the koach of the Nisoyan of Akedas Yitzchak for Avram Yitzchak. He says, Nebe Emes, Achash Nichta, Nisoyan said, that is Akedas Yitzchak, the Akedas speaking about Akedas Yitzchak, there in Sefer Bereishis, Betore Elokis, Le'edis Hashem Ne'emana, Bukulan Shovim Bechlal, Mesuperba, Ki'ilu Reinu, Be'einenu Dechsiv, V'gam Bechoy Yaminu Olam, says the Akedas Yitzchak, that it's not just what he calls Anochi L'Hashem L'Kecha that remains indelibly imprinted upon our hearts, upon our souls, right? So that anybody who leaves and has left Sinai, it shows that his forefathers never stood there. It says the other stories of the Torah, the Nisayon of Avram, is Kilu, we saw it. Because since we accepted, we heard Hashem's words to us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that all of Metzias is Hashem, and all we are is just branches, and the past and the present and the future is all blended together. It's all His will. When we heard that, imprinted upon our souls was also all the fundamentals, the fundamental of Mesiras Nefesh, of the Nisayon, of Avraham Yitzchak, the Akedah. It's as though we saw it. It's part of our spiritual genetic makeup. Because we're Gamba Chayaminu Lolam. That's amazing. So we've seen a lot of different, very different, and very special messages in this Parsha. About Avas Hashem, about Yiras Hashem. About what the revelation at Sinai did. The recognition that Hashem is the only reality. I know Hashem in the Kechel, the walls were screaming it. The rocks were screaming it. He is reality. And we're a branch of reality. And that makes us mechuyev. We are part of a greater whole. And that makes us responsible, makes us chayev to fulfill our job description. Ava, Yira, Nochi Hashem in the Kechel, etc., etc. Okay. Should be a great Kabbalah Satorim. Today was my mother, Allah Shalom's Yortzeit, Esther Fika Bas Mitzvah Levi. Coming up this Sunday is my uncle, Yudel Avram, Ben Mitzvah Levi, and on Yom Shishi Abba is my father, Allah Shalom, Moshe Aharon, Avram Yaakov. Should be Levin Shmasam, Allah Cholim Shev Rafua Shlema, those that we spoke about last week. And we should be Soros Tovos, Yeshuas V'Nechamos. We should be Zoche, just at the time of Matan Torah, that they heard the left-hand shofar, says the Pirkei Tehillim of Lezer, the left-hand shofar of the Isle of Yitzchak. So too, in the very, very near future, right just around the bend, we should be Zoche to hear the shofar Godel of the Geula. Amen, Amen.